Today is Monday, June 8th, 2026. This is your FinTech Briefing for Solopreneur. In the next 8 to 9 minutes, we'll cover the structural shift, turning private secondaries into a regulated exchange-style asset class. What the new NASDAQ fast entry rule means for your rebalancing infrastructure, and why the Fed's next move should force you to stress test your unit economics this week. Here's the number that should stop you cold. Secondary market transaction volume has hit 2 times the 2021 peak, not back to the peak, double it. And more striking than the volume is the pricing inversion. Secondaries used to trade at 80 cents on the dollar. They now trade at 106 cents on the dollar. That is a premium. Buyers are paying above par to get into private company stakes before these companies ever touch a public exchange. Brad Gerstner laid this out at the All In Summit panel, and Forge Global CEO Kelly Rodriguez filled in the architecture. Employee secondary transactions now represent 31% of all primary venture activity in 2025. That's not a side market anymore. That is a primary mechanism of private capital formation. So what does this mean if you're a fintech founder? The distribution layer is already decided. Forge's post-Schwab integration gives them access to 46 million Schwab investors and $12 trillion in assets under custody. Competing head-to-head with that on distribution is a losing motion. Think of it the way you'd think about a payment network that just locked in the dominant bank issuer. The rails are set. The on-ramp is controlled. But here's where the actual opportunity lives, below the distribution layer. Rodriguez described Forge's system as an exchange-style architecture that companies can plug into the same way they'd list on a public exchange, which means the market is actively calling for standardized transaction APIs, issuer consent workflows, and mark-to-market pricing infrastructure, and that infrastructure does not yet exist at a defensible SOC2 auditable data layer. Price discovery is still structurally broken in this market. Closed-end fund premiums are being driven by sentiment, not NAV. Forge currently has roughly 60 companies in its interval fund product, with no defensible benchmark for secondary pricing across them. If you're a founder with a background in compliance data infrastructure or capital markets APIs, that is the gap, not the front end, the pricing and compliance wrapper underneath it. Building on that, the interval fund structure is the regulatory unlock that makes all of this mass market. It bypasses the SEC-accredited investor requirement entirely. Minimum investment is $500. Pooled exposure to private equity with no per-investor accreditation check. Naval Ravikant's USVC has already deployed this architecture. If you're building in this space, the critical design decision is this. Eligibility verification has to happen at the fund level, not the transaction level. That is a meaningful engineering and compliance distinction that will cost you significantly more to retrofit than to design correctly from day one. Let's shift to something that affects founders building index replication, robo-advisory, or portfolio management tools, because there's a rule change that is quietly creating a latency gap in your rebalancing infrastructure. NASDAQ implemented a fast entry rule effective May 1st, 2025. It compresses index inclusion from up to 12 months post-IPO down to 15 trading days. FTSE Russell goes further, inclusion eligible after just 5 days post-listing. That is a structural compression that most OMS configurations are not calibrated for. More critically, for any company listing with a float below 20%, NASDAQ applies a 3x float multiplier in index weight calculation. A company with a 4% actual float is treated as a 12% float for index fund buying purposes. SpaceX is reportedly planning a 4-5% float at IPO. Under prior rules, that would have been an automatic disqualification. Under the new rules, it creates an engineered forced buying event. Here is the scale of that buying pressure. Over $600 billion in investment products track the NASDAQ 100. If your rebalancing engine is built around historical 30- to 90-day inclusion windows, you now have a guaranteed tracking error problem on newly public mega-cap positions. This needs to be on your engineering backlog before SpaceX files. While we're on infrastructure, two independent macro analysts, Jordi Visser at 22V Research and Darius Dale at 42 macro are converging on the same structural observation about where payment rails need to go. Agentic traffic has already surpassed human traffic across worldwide internet HTML web pages. According to SemiAnalysis data, the agentic economy is not a future scenario. It is operationally live right now. The problem is that ACH and wire rails have settlement windows of T+1 to T+2 that is incompatible with agent-to-agent micropayment cycles running at machine speed. Founders who architect their payment layer on programmable blockchain rails now, before enterprise adoption forces a retrofit, build in a structural advantage. The compliance note here is non-negotiable. Any agent-to-agent payment system requires transaction monitoring architecture from day one under FinCEN guidance. Cross-border crypto settlement brings AML and KYC obligations that cannot be bolted on after launch without significant remediation cost. Design it in. And on stablecoins specifically, Lawrence Leopard at Equity Management Associates flagged something that belongs in your product's risk disclosure if you hold or transact stablecoin balances. Tether and Circle combined stand at roughly $350 to $400 billion with reserves deployed into U.S. Treasury bonds. U.S. regulated stablecoins are seizable by the U.S. government. This has already happened with Iranian USDT holdings. If your product holds stablecoin balances on behalf of users, seizure risk is a material counterparty consideration that your risk architecture needs to address explicitly. Now, the macro picture, and this one is direct. Darius Dale's position at 42 macro is unambiguous. The Fed should tighten monetary policy, and the scenario where stocks react poorly to that tightening is, in his words, upon us. The labor market data sharpens the risk considerably. U.S. labor force growth is projected to decelerate from a long-run mean of 1.4% down to 0.2% in 2026. That means economic growth has to come almost entirely from productivity gains. If it doesn't, you get an overheating dynamic that entrenches tightening longer than models currently price. For founders with rate-sensitive unit economics, BNPL funding costs, warehouse line pricing, consumer lending APRs, this is not a future stress test. It is the current environment. CME FedWatch at time of recording showed approximately 50% probability of a rate increase by December, with the Fed funds rate around 3.5 to 3.75%, and the two-year Treasury trading materially above that level. Classic pre-tightening inversion. The leading indicator to instrument right now is consumer delinquency rates rising alongside bond yield stress. For platforms operating BNPL infrastructure or consumer lending APIs, rising delinquencies translate directly into higher ACH return codes, R01, R02, R03. Build automated alerting thresholds that trigger manual review when your return rates exceed baseline by more than 15%. That is a concrete, implementable, operational response to what the macro data is already showing. One final signal for founders on the fundraising path. Gerstner and Calacanis confirmed explicitly at the All In Summit panel that they are selling into secondary market strength to generate LPDPI. The secondary premium is real, and experienced allocators are using it as an exit. Later stage secondary buyers, including retail allocators coming in through interval funds, are absorbing supply that the smart money is deliberately offloading. If you're raising in this environment, the pitch that works is demonstrable unit economics and DPI generation metrics, not narrative arranged by multiples. The circular accounting structure is now under scrutiny across the hyperscaler CapEx cycle, where unrealized AI investment gains are booked as earnings, inflating PE ratios, enabling more debt. That framework is getting picked apart publicly. Founders who show real conversion lift and real cost per acquisition data are going to stand out sharply against that backdrop. Quick win before you close your laptop today. Pull your ACH return rate from the last 30 days and set a threshold alert at 15% above your baseline. If you don't have that instrumented, add it to your dashboard before end of business. In a tightening cycle, With delinquencies rising, that number will move faster than you expect, and catching it early is the difference between a workflow adjustment and a credit facility conversation. That's your FinTech Briefing for Solopreneur. Thanks for spending the morning with me. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.